Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Do I sound clear?
You do. You sound marvelous.
Wonderful. Okay, so our assignment from yesterday. We are conditioned to be a human sacrifice. We're sacrificed to maintain karma. Example, what wants to be free of conditioning's control is not allowed to participate in the process that will lead to freedom. What of you is sacrificed when the karma is chosen? Record and listen to what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, joy, I got on this time.
Hello, Brad.
I got bumped off like 2 days ago. I was listening through my headphones, and then I heard that it was on, and then I got wiped off the call. How are you? So what gets sacrificed for me is everything that wants to help me get out of the situation. Mm-hmm. It just wipes out. I was used to explain to my Zen coach, when I get stuck in patterns of karma, it's like a bull in a china shop where I get disidentified. What really wants to help me gets pushed out of the way. The bowl in the china shop knocks over all the china, and then the next day when I come to, I'm back with nothing but broken china, and the bowl's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's exactly it. And you with a bill for the damage.
Yes. And the talking points when I'm identified in that karma of not recording and listening, of not meditating, of not doing all those things are really pervasive, and it makes it that much harder.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I'm not there right now. I'm in a real good spot, so it's nice to be able to talk about it when I'm not identified with it.
Yes, yes.
But
talk to the guy instead of bull. Yeah.
Yeah, it's vicious. It's vicious. So, mm-hmm. And I think all of conditioning in this country and this world is that the proper thing to do is to abandon yourself. But that seems to lead to nothing but suffering and misery.
That's right. That's right. Which leads me to speculate that what came up with these societal, cultural standards, human standards, is exactly the system we're trying to get past.
Yeah, that it perpetuates itself when you don't care for yourself.
That's right. And so egocentricity it rules people's lives individually, but it also runs society, right?
Oh,
so,
boy.
Yeah, so there's ego with all of the ways that it protects itself, and so it says the way to be selfless actually is completely selfish. The way to, you need to take care of everyone else, not yourself. You need to try to be good, never meet the standard, and then feel bad. You know, these are not ways that are going to...
These are no-win situations.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And yet, as far as we can tell, we look around and very, very, very few people have escaped that. So it seems like it must be true because everyone says it and everyone believes it. And yeah. And mostly, of course, it's happening inside our own head.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, to see that is invaluable. So thank you
and
both.
Well, I just want to ask you one other question.
Sure.
Do you have a fairly clear sense at this point, as I said in my little newsletter article, how you get talked?
Oh, sure. I'm watching it right now.
Uh-huh.
Because it's so wicked what we discussed at the New Year's retreat and what still can go on. What I'm watching right now is I'm like, okay, this is where I'm at with the karma. I'm in a good spot. It's going to start with its sales pitch again, that since you're feeling good, you need to do this, and it's not going mm-hmm. to be helpful, you know?
Okay.
So I really need to, because what I've noticed is karma really gets on me when I start to feel good, and I'm not used to feeling good, and then karma goes crazy and wants to pull me down into the hellhole by the ankle.
That's right. Because it's all about the energy, right? It sets us up to feel good, which it does. It does. And then it comes in to take all that good energy, okay? And then to pull you down, and that pulling you down is what it feels like when ego is sucking the life force out of you, okay? Then you hit the bottom, and it starts saying, well, now, Brad, it's not that bad. You know, you've got to practice. You could get back to practice. You should start, okay? And it talks you into it, which is really interesting at that point. It's talking you into getting back to clarity, back to yourself, and feeling good. Why? Because then you're going to be full of energy, and it's going to have more energy, more life force to suck out of you. So watching that process and making lots of recordings about that, how you get talked into and how you get talked out of, and above all, watching it from the point of view of being a crop. And you will be harvested at your peak.
Wow. Yeah, that's a real interesting way of putting it. I have on my second folder on my recording and listening recorder the process that goes on, and I hadn't heard it in probably 2 months, and I listened to it yesterday, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's all there. It's all the same. I just need to pay attention to it.
That's right. That's right. And those are the recordings to be listening to at this juncture. So it's good for us to know which information we need at which juncture, because even though we're conditioned to believe this is terribly mysterious and complex and confusing, as soon as we start paying attention in the way that we're talking about, we realize, you know, we're on a repeat cycle. Okay, we just keep going through the same sequence over and over and over. The only reason that we get fooled is that the content is slightly different.
Different, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good man.
One last thing. How do I keep then just being content with life instead of getting pulled down? Just continue to watch it, right? And that's
right. Stay focused on what you love, on what you enjoy, on what you want your life to stand for, on what's important to you. Stay focused on those things, and you'll keep the energy.
Right.
And when it gets you, when it grabs you by the ankle, and it's got you waist deep in hell, then you recognize where you are. You turn your attention back to, aha, I see. Okay, I see what's going on now.
Right.
I've bought into,
right.
I've been believed, you know, and boom, the energy
right.
is yours again.
All right. Thank you.
I'm cured.
All right.
Yeah, we all are. Thank
all
you.
All right.
Brad.
Take care,
Bye.
Sherry. Thanks, guys.
You
too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brad. Sherry, as we were looking at that newsletter article about getting talked into and talked out of, and what I think you were suggesting to Brad is the process of practice allows us to watch how it happens, right?
Yes.
That whole,
yes.
How we get talked into in how we get talked out of, and then
the very language.
Yes, the very change, the change in the energy, and then the feeling bad. In other words, that is a process with a very specific structure.
Yes.
And most often when we're practicing, we observe the structure after it's happened to us, which is why we can talk about it.
Yes.
And the encouragement, once we know what the structure is to start to develop an awareness of when we're in it. Because
mm-hmm.
it's only when we're in it and we recognize it that we can do what you're pointing to, which is redirect the attention and not let the program complete. So we start
yes.
to interrupt the program sequence, right?
Yes, yes. And so with the image that Brad gave us, you know, we start coming to and recognizing the bull is in the china shop. That's what this
mm-hmm.
feels like. That's what this chaos is. That's the craziness. I'm unconscious. And we can actually have that experience of, I'm unconscious. Yeah, of course, I'm not at that moment, but that's where I am in the sequence. And we're backing it up, okay? The bull is loose. The bull has been turned loose. The bull is headed for the china shop. The bull is going through the door. The bull, right? And eventually we take it back to the point where there is that impulse to react, to go unconscious when so that the bowl can be released, and we don't do it.
Yes, and that's turning back the wheel of karma.
Exactly. Yep. Bringing it to a halt.
It feels awful. It really feels awful to be in it while we're starving the karma. But the point is to stay with that process, not just know that it happens that way, but once we know it happens that way, to tune into when it's happening.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Become an expert on it so we can't be fooled again. That's why yesterday when we were talking actively about sex, the conditioning is don't do that. Don't think about that. No. And just repress, fight the impulse. And what we were talking about is no. Go through the whole process with your eyes wide open. That's how you're going to see what happens. Trying to repress and trying to fight, you know, I mean, picture that. There's this huge charging bull, and you're going to get in front of it and try to hold it back?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we can learn that this bull is good. The oxen, the bull or oxen herding pictures are so very zen. So I mean, you can just hop up on its back, right, and ride it through the whole thing. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Siri and Ashwini. This is Tom from San Jose.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
Good, you?
Good, thanks.
Good. What are you seeing?
Well, the karma that I was noticing is about the measure of a man, kind of. Like measuring by the amount of sex you have, the kind of sex you have, the number of partners you have, things like that is what I was looking at. I think myself and a lot of people that I encounter who are like me struggle a lot with that.
Uh-huh. Because you're not meeting the standard.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, the standard of, you know, what a man would be as a sexual being, you know, and it's all just completely ideas and thoughts and possibilities and standards, but it's just there's no reality to it whatsoever.
And I'm going to project here. It's not even a reality that you're particularly interested in. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, that is very true. Which is kind of outside the bounds of that karma as well.
Right. You should. A real man would want that.
Yes. Yes. And that there's this kind of mythical man who's having all the right sex and who's having the right amount of sex and everything like
all
that.
All the time.
All the time. And I've never met him.
Yeah. And I keep having this, of course, I wasn't conditioned as male, so I don't actually know this, but it has kind of a teenage feel.
Yeah. Yes,
to it.
That
a
is true.
Superhero, the sort of the, I don't know who it is currently, who's the equivalent of Indiana Jones or Top Gun or whatever is going on now. I guess some of the Marvel characters, although they don't seem terribly sexual, do they?
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is kind of a teenage, you know, kind of looking up to what you think being an adult is, what you think being an adult is about, how you're conditioned through things like we've been talking about pornography a little bit, you know, how you're conditioned in that way, how you're conditioned, you know, through the things you mentioned too, you know, movies and TV and all those things. I was very much a TV kid, and so all those ideas of how a man is, a lot of them are based in sexuality, and they cause all kinds of problems for me today and all the people I know.
Because even though you know how you want to be in your life, these kinds of standards or whatever it is, can torture you.
Yes. Yes, they can. And often it can be, you know, it's, with men, it can be kind of a joking thing where it's like, you know, hey, you know, you're getting laid, you know, are you, how's everything going? You know, oh, I've got all these women who I like to hang out with and stuff. And it's just like, I guess I'm supposed to participate in this activity, but I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't identify with it, and it's definitely not how I want to be, but I seem to be expected to participate, or else I'm kind of out of the group.
And do you suspect everybody's just kind of in the same place, but just talking the talk because that's what you got to do?
Very much so.
Yeah. So it just feeds everybody's insecurity and anxiety.
Very
right?
much Instead so, of, yeah. It's yeah. this collective cloud that we're all just living under, and mm-hmm. and nobody is willing to say what the truth is in the whole situation, because we're all under this, just we're all closing our eyes to it.
Mm-hmm. So my grandson told me recently that he's in his crowd is in the early 30s, and he said in his group. What's happening is that the guys aren't interested in relationships with women because they have pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And with pornography, they don't have to deal with a human being, especially a female, and all those emotions and expectations and that sort of thing. Is that a piece of it?
That is definitely a piece of it, because, you know, it's a thing where you can search for the encounter that you want to have and have that fantasy, and then there's a satisfaction that comes from that. It's a strange kind of satisfaction, because it's like the satisfaction that comes from meeting the standard, not the satisfaction of getting what it is that's nourishing for me.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And of course there's the physical release. Right.
So
somebody was talking about that the other day, how, you know, that energy, depending on where a person is in their life, usually it's very, very strong early on and then sort of fades as people get older to whatever degree. But periodically, at whatever age, it roars back up. And then here's a way to dissipate that energy that doesn't it's not fulfilling. Filling, but it does dissipate the energy.
Yes, and it dissipates just the angst. It dissipates the just feeling of, I'm just not having enough. I'm not having the right kind. I'm not mm-hmm. having the right partners. I'm not able to talk about it in some way as if I have experience of it. So now mm-hmm. I'm going to go get something to satisfy, to scratch that itch of needing to fit in.
And nobody actually needs to know whether that was with a real human being or that was with your computer.
Yeah. That's right.
You're having it, ostensibly you're having the experience, and that's what's required.
Mm-hmm.
Except, of course, inside, where we know that that's not true. And we're talking now about sex, but it's true with everything, right? That process is that you're describing is the same, of ego keeping us on the outside, telling us what's wrong with us, what we need in order to fit in, to belong, to be the right person, always withholding that possibility, fighting against our actually achieving that, so that it keeps us in this feeling, just feeling bad.
Yes.
Well, thank you, John. That is... it's just very, very helpful to see that aspect of it and to explore it that clearly. So
yeah, it is very helpful.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate that. All right. Take good care.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. Bye bye.
Thanks, Tom. And what I heard in that conversation is so reminiscent of Seth Lewis' Screwtape Letters. The way in which the system works. In order for us to confuse direct experience with the meeting of the standard, I mean that's what moved me about what Tom said. That mm-hmm. that whatever we are, we end up doing behaviorally is a release that that prevents us from having a direct experience of fulfillment, because it's about releasing the angst around the standard being met.
Yeah.
And that's it. So we're perpetually in relationship to the system, because the release or the fulfillment is within the system and is part of the machinery of the program. So we never actually exit it to have a direct experience.
Yeah. Well,
but the coping mechanisms are all release of being enthralled to the system.
Yes. Yes. And as we were just talking about, because the direct experience you're having is inadequate. That's what we're told. So, you know, why would I want to go through life having the wrong direct experience? I might as well have a faux direct experience. That's better than the wrong direct experience. And of course it's not, because it just keeps us from being able to go in that direction and actually explore. That's ego, that's society standards. But what about me? What do I want? Yeah. What's fulfilling for me? And where is perhaps another person who shares that same orientation? You know, I'm not even going to see that person, because I just don't see him because I'm conditioned to be looking over here. Right?
That's right. And that place that Brad talked about, we're so conditioned to abandon ourselves in order to meet the standard. And that's exactly what happens. There's no deepening of the ability to have a direct experience and explore a direct experience and be present to a direct experience and recognize the juiciness that comes from it not being this idealistic, metallic standard in the conditioned system.
Oh, there's so much money behind that system, though. Oh my God. And this is one of the places where we really see it. We can see sex and money coming together in a how lucrative sex is.
Yeah. Well, we are being harvested for energy and resources
financially.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Boston.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Shwini.
House Boston. quickly, how's Boston?
Real quick. Well, I'm in a small town outside of Boston, but I figured it'd be easier if I just said Boston. But it's beautiful up here. So this is going off of that last conversation about kind of these standards of manliness. So I will say the image that kept popping in for me was me when I was like 3 or 4. My favorite movie was The Little Mermaid. I remember wanting to act out scenes from that movie and being corrected by adults in my family saying, okay, but you're a merman, not a mermaid. And so that same process probably happened over and over and over until I realized, okay, you can't act that way or you're going to get in trouble, so don't act that way anymore.
Yeah, boy. So how you are has to be hidden, because if you don't hide it, you're going to get in trouble.
Right. The way you are is not enough. It's wrong. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. Act that other way, and then you'll be good.
Wow. At a time when there is absolutely no ability to sort that out. None.
Yeah.
And how is that showing up now, Chris?
Well, if I hadn't looked when I first saw this content, ego was like, okay, we don't really need to look at that. That's not a big deal. And
which
was suspicious.
That. Yeah.
Because as a late 20s gay man growing up, you know, in this culture, it's on the one hand, there's a lot of acceptance, and I just kind of assumed, like, okay, yeah, this is not a big deal. All my friends know, my work knows, family knows that it's not been an issue, like, telling people. And I kind of was under the guise of, like, okay, it's all fine. But there is a process where ego recreates that rejection. So if, for example, someone expresses interest in me, I will absolutely, or ego will absolutely make sure that nothing can happen. Even if they get close, it's like, okay, but no, that's not happening. finding something wrong with either me or him, and then wallowing after, and like, why am I so lonely? Like, that's the cycle. Just recreating the rejection so that I don't have to go through the rejection.
Wow. So, yeah, that's when I talk about living in disappointment so I'm never disappointed. That's it. So living in the rejection so that I never have to face that rejection. That is just fiendish, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's such the water that I have been swimming in for most of my 20s and before that as well.
It's such a good example of, well, a good example of a lot of things, but one simply knowing something doesn't make a difference. So you got to the point of realizing, well, everybody in my world knows I'm gay, so and nobody's rejecting me, so I'm fine. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that intellectually, but emotionally, you're still in the grip of conditioning that is going to have you live your life as if rejection is right around the corner, and that you must live your whole life is such that you never experience that again, which is really interesting when we consider how much of it you survived.
Wow.
I mean, actually, you're quite good at being rejected and living through it.
Wow, that's an interesting. Yeah, I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah, there's no reason to be afraid of it.
Right. Wow, because that's, and also, I mean, that is so the fundamental fear, the core of that karma. I don't know, but I mean, it's what brought me to practice. Was getting, it actually happened in real life with another person, you know, outside of my head, that actually occurred, where someone said, the way you are is not good. I mean, it was and that is a story that comes up that was 2 years ago, and that still comes up daily, and then also right after that, and why aren't you over it yet?
Yeah, of course. Yes, of course. Yes. Right.
As if I'm...
as if...
Oh, go on.
Well...
I was just going to say, as if I'm... Oh, sorry.
You finish that sentence.
I was just going to say, as if I'm volitionally picking that and wanting that to be my line of thinking.
Right, right. None of which is true. So we just had a peace quote, maybe you saw it, I don't know, recently, that said, if somebody says you're too much for them, maybe it's possible that they're not enough for you, which is, you know, kind of snarky and that sort of thing. But it speaks to exactly this, right? So if somebody sees you as not enough, not good enough, flawed, whatever it is. Okay, that's on them. That really doesn't have anything to do with you. But of course, it's just going to go right to your heart, because it takes you back to 3 years old and the Little Mermaid, right? And it confirms everything that ego has been trying to make you believe all of your life. So, of course, you know, my hope for you is that you get out there and just see what rejection looks like at this age. Yeah.
Right, with eyes wide open, as opposed to...
Eyes wide open. eyes wide open and a big focus on egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you got to say about that, voices? What about that? What does that mean? Really? Why that? Why are you saying that? What is that? And of course, I'm not describing an intellectual engagement with them, but just that putting them on the spot. No, I'm not just unconsciously going to buy your information anymore. I'm having my own, as Ashwini was just saying, my own direct experience, right? I'm having my own direct experience so that I can juxtapose that with what I've been told all my life, because I'm looking for the truth here.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to listen to that probably 1,000 more times, but that is the attitude.
Maybe a couple. I think you're ready. If you weren't, you wouldn't be looking at this in this way. You know, so again, where we started off with what do you sacrifice? What do you allow to be sacrificed? Mm. However that went, and that's it, right? That now that's the direction that ego is going to take with you, to try to get you to believe somehow you're not ready for that, or I don't quite understand that, or what is that? No, that just means going out in the world, being who you are, and watching what happens from the point of view of. Is my experience the same as what ego is saying? And if not, in what ways? And you've got the mentor right there to help him.
Yeah, having that step, like every step of the way, is something that...
Every step of the way. It's a big workshop. That's all it is.
Yeah.
This, you know, we're not talking about anything that society would call real life here. We are in a workshop. We are waking up and ending suffering. This is a retreat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the exercise. This is the current exercise in the retreat.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Thanks,
Chris. Thank you so much for that.
You are so welcome. Go happy.
Okay. Go happy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Chris. And Jody, that brings us to the end of the show. Our assignment
really,
so many more people that I wanted to bring on to the queue, but we'll have to wait till Monday.
That's right.
And here's the assignment. What would you have to let go of? What would you have to give up, surrender, lose interest in for the karma not to be maintained? The obvious answer is ego. But what aspect of ego?
Mm.
Look on, listen.
Mm. Mm. All right. Well, there we are.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sherry. Everybody have a happy weekend, and we'll talk on Monday.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.